You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up tomorrow after 8 on The Morning Show, join Kate Archer-Kent and her guests for a look at the top stories in state and national news on this edition of The Week in Review. That's tomorrow morning after 8 here on the Ideas Network.
First, lawmakers held a hearing at the state capitol today for a new bill that would punish so-called sanctuary cities in Wisconsin. A sanctuary city is any city that limits its cooperation with the federal government in its effort to enforce immigration law. While there are gray areas in the definition of sanctuary city, places like Madison and Milwaukee County have limited their cooperation on immigration issues.
As the issue of sanctuary cities is being considered here in Wisconsin, the U.S. Department of Justice gave five jurisdictions a final warning about their support of sanctuary policies. The DOJ gave New York, Chicago, New Orleans, Cook County, Illinois, and Philadelphia until October 27th to prove that they're not defying federal law when it comes to immigration enforcement.
Paul Nolet is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University, and he joins us to talk about this bill. Paul, welcome back.
Hi, great to talk with you.
Let's talk about the bill. What exactly would it do?
So a couple of things. I mean, one thing that it does is prevents any jurisdiction from enacting a law or policy that would prohibit the enforcement of any federal or state law dealing with immigration and illegal aliens, illegal immigration. And it would also require localities to go along with what are known as detainers that are issued by federal immigration law enforcement that are essentially our requests to say, hey, we're interested in getting this person for possible deportation, detain them for an extra period of time so we can get custody of that person. So it would require localities to go along with that, and if they don't, they face possible fines.
Now, a similar bill like this was tried last year. It didn't pass. What does this bill look like in terms of its prospects?
Well, it's a little bit unclear at this point because if you just look at the numbers, you look at the assembly where this bill has already passed, and then here in the Senate, Republicans have a solid majority, and in fact, they built on their majority in the 2016 election. You might think this bill might have more possibility of passage this time, but it's still a bit unclear. Even Governor Walker's been a bit noncommittal when he's been pushed on a position on this particular bill, and it's not clear what Senate leadership is going to do to really try to make this bill law.
In terms of sanctuary cities, in the fullest expression of their definition, do we have full-fledged sanctuary cities in Wisconsin?
It's a little hard to say because sanctuary cities actually have no legal definition themselves. Generally speaking, they refer to any jurisdiction, cities, and even states, in fact, that take action to limit their cooperation with federal law enforcement. And so even taking Madison, for example, Madison actually resisted for quite some time being called a sanctuary city, despite the fact that they did have laws on the books that limited cooperation with federal law enforcement. So it really depends on how you define sanctuary cities, but if you take a fairly broad definition and say, hey, any city or state or other jurisdiction that limits in any way its cooperation with federal immigration law enforcement, then there are numerous jurisdictions here in Wisconsin across the country that would fall into that definition.
And what reasons do cities typically give for choosing not to fully cooperate with the federal government on this?
I think the big thing is they say that this potentially could have some very disruptive effects among targeted communities. So communities involving that are very much immigrant communities, both legal and undocumented immigrants. And the idea is that, well, one thing that this might do is make it more complicated for police to work with members of that community in, say, solving crimes or getting tips about crimes, because people are going to be too scared to come forward to talk to police if they know that police have these wide-ranging powers that are connected to the federal government and might eventually lead to deportation. So I think that's really one of the key aspects or key defenses of what sanctuary jurisdictions are doing.
Now, a lot has been written about the dairy industry in Wisconsin and how it's, by some measures, a lot of the labor in the dairy industry comes from immigrants. Some of these may be people without papers. Does that something that's come up in this debate?
It has, and in fact, that was part of the hearing today as well. Some concern from the dairy industry, which, of course, is one of Wisconsin's most important industries, that a huge percentage of workers in the industry are immigrants. And in fact, I've heard numbers around 80% or so, as high as that, being immigrants, either legal or undocumented. So one of the concerns from the dairy industry is if Wisconsin adopts these sorts of laws, it might make it much more difficult for them to fill the many positions that are necessary to have the dairy industry work for the state.
We're talking with Paul Nolet right now from Marquette University about a Wisconsin bill that would penalize so-called sanctuary cities. And Paul, looking at the penalty aspect, what would the penalty be for cities that may not cooperate fully with federal law on immigration?
For cities like Madison and Milwaukee with a large population, it could be up to $5,000 a day, which could be very significant if that's day after day. You're talking about real money after a period of time. It is scaled depending on the size of the jurisdiction, but certainly I think given that Milwaukee County and Madison are the main targets or what legislators have in mind here, then it's a hefty penalty of $5,000 a day.
Now, we mentioned this hearing going on today, and reporters are saying that there were hundreds of people lined up to oppose this bill. What kinds of stories and commentary has been coming out of this hearing?
I think a lot of it are personal stories about how the discussion over the bill makes individuals in immigrant communities feel like they're a target. And again, this could be those who actually are undocumented, not legal immigrants, but also legal immigrants who think that this is fostering a kind of a culture of racism, specifically against especially Latinos and Latino immigrants. So I think a lot of the stories connected to that sort of thing, saying how their own communities and their own families were affected by the discussions over this bill.
Now, supporters of this proposed bill that would penalize so-called sanctuary cities, supporters say that the bill would make cities and communities safer. What have we heard in that vein?
Yeah, so this, the other side of the argument essentially says, look, by cooperating with federal law enforcement and having local officials, local police cooperating with federal law enforcement, it can help prevent crimes that might be done by undocumented immigrants. And much like in many other areas of criminal law, federal, state, and local officials often work together to help solve crimes and to help prevent crimes. And so the argument is that this is one step towards getting rid of a barrier that might otherwise prevent the sort of cooperation that could target crimes and target the prevention of crimes.
Paul Nolet stays with us now. He's from Marquette University, and we're talking about a Wisconsin bill that would penalize so-called sanctuary cities.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you think about sanctuary cities, cities that don't cooperate on some level with the federal enforcement of immigration law? How do you think the state of Wisconsin should treat sanctuary cities? Do you agree with this bill, this proposal that would penalize, financially penalize cities that don't cooperate with federal enforcement on immigration? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org.
We'll continue our conversation and take your calls in a little bit here on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrer.
And I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're picking up our discussion now with Paul Nolet of Marquette University about a Wisconsin bill that would punish so-called sanctuary cities here in the state.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you support these sanctuary policies in communities here in Wisconsin? What do you think local governments should do when it comes to cooperating with immigrations and custom enforcement on illegal immigration issues? Should the state penalize cities, local governments that don't cooperate. Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
And we'll take a caller now. We've got Bill joining us first in Brookfield. Bill, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I can remember the days when Republicans were the party of local control, and the mantra from them was, we should not have state or other organizations impeding upon the rights of cities and communities. Until, of course, the time when Republicans become in control of the state, and then suddenly it's not a matter of local controls and what do cities have as their best interest. They intercede. If you think about the fact that how do cities deal with federal law, which is the nature of this issue, the state really doesn't have any standing in it unless it's a matter of politics.
Bill, thank you for that call and bringing up issues of local and federal control. And I want to ask you to respond to that, but also what power does the Justice Department have when it comes to punishing and setting policy on sanctuary cities?
Yeah, this is, I mean, Bill raises an interesting point because, I mean, certainly Republicans, as he mentioned, even like Paul Ryan, for instance, have long said, oh, it's best to have policies made at the most local part of government, the part of government that's closest to the people. And this may seem to certainly many of the critics of the bill that this is really contradicting that principle. I will say that one thing that is important here, just from a legal perspective and a constitutional perspective, is that it is important to remember that states do have a lot more control over dictating what local jurisdictions can do, like cities, than the federal government does over cities and states. So in other words, what the Wisconsin legislature wants to do and say that Milwaukee or Madison has to adhere to certain things, they do have more power to do that than the federal government does, interestingly enough. So to answer the second part of your question, when you talked about the Department of Justice, actually, cities are on pretty firm ground, I think, strong constitutional arguments that they can make when it comes to the Department of Justice threatening, for example, to pull law enforcement money away from cities or other jurisdictions if they don't comply with federal law. But again, the states typically have more power, including here in Wisconsin, to determine which direction jurisdictions go.
Thank you for that call, Bill. And we're going to go next to Simmer in Milwaukee. Simmer, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. What do you think?
The first thing I want to say, Veronica, is we're going to miss you a lot.
Oh, thank you.
The second is, I know we talk a lot about crime, that the crime is going to be reduced, but do we have data that being an immigrant myself, I think most of us, my family taught us how to work hard, be a contributing member to the society, but is there truly data that shows that cracking down on illegal immigrants is truly going to reduce crime? Is that like, somehow I don't buy that.
Simmer, thanks so much for that call. And Paul, is there data that backs up the idea that things would be safer with this sort of legislation?
Well, I suppose, I mean, you can always point to particular crimes, like individual crimes, like, for instance, a murder of a San Franciscan woman that many of the proponents of bills like this one point to say, oh, that crime was done by an illegal immigrant, and so this is what this is trying to prevent. But one thing about the data and crimes is that it actually turns out that immigrants are less likely to commit crimes. There's some logic to this. I mean, if you're an undocumented immigrant, you're worried about getting deported, then in all likelihood, you're going to try to, you know, just do the job that you came across the border to try to do, whether that's in the dairy industry or what have you, and try to avoid bringing attention to yourself. And so for the most part, are there crimes that do happen by undocumented immigrants in the United States? Yes, it has happened, but those rates tend to be actually quite a bit lower than the native-born population. So that may determine how you look at this bill and the necessity of whether this bill is really a crime bill or whether it's really trying to just take a stronger stance on immigration for other reasons.
Again, thanks for that call. And let's go next to Todd in Green Bay. Todd, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. I was wondering, one of the duties of the federal government, as far as I thought, the Constitution laid out was to protect our borders and to, you know, protect the citizenry from foreign invasion, I guess you'd call it. And I'm wondering about you know, the state's rights as compared to federal rights in that regard. And the other thing is that if I were in the country illegally and I had committed a crime, the first place I would go would be a sanctuary city. I would look and seek that out. What I'm wondering is that do city councils and county boards, et cetera, really have the right to just declare themselves a sanctuary city without taking this to a referendum of the voters in the city? Because a lot of people might feel that they're less safe because they could be harboring criminals within their borders. Mm-hmm. Because they are a sanctuary city.
Todd, interesting questions there. Thank you for that. And Paul, what do you think about that? We've got about a minute left for your answer.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot there. And one thing when it comes to the crime aspect, many of the so-called sanctuary cities, including Madison, for instance, have said, hey, you know, we're going to cooperate with federal law enforcement when it comes to detaining people for possible deportation who have been arrested for serious crimes, like, you know, robbery, murder, those sorts of things. So that's one part of it is, depending on how you define sanctuary city, it may not apply to, you know, those immigrants who actually have committed more serious crimes. Going back to that point that I mentioned before, one part of the constitutional structure is that the federal government, in fact, does have primary responsibility over immigration enforcement, but it also, there are some limits in terms of what they can force localities to do.
And we have to leave it there. Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Paul Nolet, Associate Professor of Political Science at Marquette University, with us to talk about so-called sanctuary cities.